Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the main event. You're here with me, Daniel.
And Aaron.
Aaron, new surroundings.
I know. It's crazy.
Excited?
Yeah, it's like when, you know, like back when we were kids, when like a sequel would come out in 3D.
We are two very different ages, Aaron. I was not a child when things came out.
Like Sharkboy, Lava Girl 3D, Saw 3D, very different.
Two very different childhood films. I'm distressed if your parents took you to see Sharkboy and Lava Girl at the pictures. Saw's fine. But anyone that didn't see our previous podcast, just to keep you in the loop, the Gallagher Shots YouTube channel have kindly loaned us their studio, as a certain Newcastle United are now in the Champions League. So we are going to be doing some podcasts, some content for them. Basically, you're going to get the same content across both channels, whether that's ours or theirs. So feel free to jump onto YouTube and give them a subscribe, give them a like, all that sort of good stuff. Anyone that is a Newcastle fan can, or not a Newcastle fan, can subscribe to their membership. It's $2.99 a month. You get access to different channels. You get videos that come out before normal YouTube, before the peasants of this world. But we don't offer anything. We don't have Patreon or anything like that yet. So there's nothing to subscribe for us. So just give us a cheeky little like if you don't mind. You can follow us on Twitter as well at UCL Fantasy Pod. One thing to remember, despite some of the Newcastle memorabilia, is that this isn't a Newcastle-based podcast. This is the Champions League Fantasy Podcast. So that is the last mention of that particular team for this particular group preview. Now you're probably clicking thinking, first preview group E, what are you lot doing again? We do this every year, keep you on your toes. This year, however, there is a little bit of method to the madness. Normally it's because we do our research and there are teams playing on Saturday nights and Sunday afternoons, and we kind of want to stagger it so we'll get as much information as possible before actually publishing anything. In this case, we are going to start with group E and then work through. And that is because Group E are the Tuesday games. So we kind of want to make it a little bit more simple. We haven't done a rules podcast this year, which we normally do. If you do want to listen to a rules podcast, sorry to sort of plug a third podcast, but you have the UCL Fantasy Podcast on Spotify. It's not video. You can go jump on that. You might hear a familiar voice in Fantasy Football Ed, who does the NUFC blogcast as well as Fantasy Football Scout, as well as joke videos on Twitter. So you might recognize him, plus myself and Lewis. We did a very short podcast explaining the rules for anyone that wants to know them. So you can jump on that if you wanted to. But for the benefit of this, we are going to go through Tuesday fixtures and we'll start with Group E.
So the first match, Feyenoord and Celtic.
Yes.
So should we start with the stronger team in Feyenoord? Because I think this is a fixture that we could potentially look to target, especially with some of the players that they have, unless you disagree with that.
No, I think they've got some good value. Especially with Celtic at the minute, they are obviously doing okay in the Scottish League.
They always do.
Can they ever do badly? But they beat Rangers. That was a coup for them as well. Although it wasn't without controversy. What I would say is that they also have only signed, in terms of like actually signing into the Champions League with their squad, one left back. So I don't know how that's going to go for them. They've had injuries to Carter Vickers recently. I don't know his current fitness status, largely because I don't care. I don't want to be touching Celtic players. Because I don't think Brendan Rodgers is getting the best out of that team with the players. And B, because I don't think Feyenoord away is a particularly good fixture. And then even beyond that, I know that you have some feelings in the future about Lazio and that sort of thing. Neither of those Atletico Madrid games are particularly tasty for them. I think that Feyenoord, however, will like a home game against Celtic, who, like I say, aren't playing particularly well. So just to touch on Feyenoord, obviously Dutch champions, they had a lot of ins and outs. I'm not going to go through them all. There's far too many of them, but they do feel like they've bolstered, probably because of the Champions League as well. So they've brought in, and I do apologize for butchering so many of these names.
I feel like you just need that disclaimer out there.
Yeah,
like,
at all times. But it's larger. It's Dutch names are particularly difficult. But we've got Ueda, who's a new striker, hasn't really been playing at the moment, but he's one to keep an eye out on just in case anything happens to Jimenez, who is their starting striker. They've signed Ivanusic. They have signed Zaruki. They've signed Stengs, who is a starter. They've signed Beale, Beelen, who we've got some question marks over, and also Nivkup. So lots of new signings. Koku is the major player out, I'd say. And they also have their goalkeeper injured until November. So Bio, that's spelled B-I-J-O-W, just in case. I'm sorry, I don't make up the rules when it comes to the Dutch language. I've also probably not pronounced his name right anyway. But they did have an injury to him in the first game of the season, which was a 0-0 draw. And Vellenreuther has came in. He isn't very good. They've conceded in every game that he's played. 2-2 draw, 6-1 win and a 5-1 win. So it's not been too much of the detriment. 7 points out of a possible 9. And just in terms of players to go through, Gertrude seems to be the starting right back. Now, they have been flip-flopping between centre-backs when it comes to Beelen and Trauner. And I think the most interesting thing is that Beelen is a 4 million defender. I'm not sure how much I'd like to go for him anyway, even if he is 4 million. And the reason is the conceding goals. If the goalkeeper's not very good, you can be 4 million all he's like. You're still only worth 2 points, maybe 3. So could be a punt. Tuesday night fixture, 4 million. If he doesn't play, you can always just sub him out. So I think if you have plans for an early wild card, that could be fine. Is he? What do you think about a 4 million defender from Feyenoord, Aaron?
I think Celtic are the type of team where it can always nick a goal. I feel like not just from the top of my head, I don't think they've kept, like many teams keep a clean sheet. They kind of just sneak one goal, maybe when. Like, I think even against, was it Real Madrid they played against last year?
Played very well. I don't think they scored, but
they should have.
They should have scored about 4.
Yeah, so like, they're a team that play without fear.
Different probably manager though, Ange Ball. They've gone from Ange Ball to true. Gucci Belt. And that's an issue.
Yeah, so I think like, but the Scottish fans obviously will sometimes outsing, maybe not Feyenoord, but
the Dutch fans are great, to be fair.
If a team like Real Madrid are maybe like used to, they're like, oh, here's another pot four team, like, you know, kind of how we used talked about in the past, how they need the big occasion to get motivated. The Celtic fans can definitely be heard in them kind of matches, which helps the team. So I think like they can nick a goal, and Feyenoord are playing against teams and just letting a goal in every now and again. So it might be a similar type of match where it's a good, maybe a good punt for the first day, but I guess
you're not going to want to hold on to them for Atletico Madrid.
No, away. I think it really depends on your chip strategy.
Yeah, 100%. The one thing I would say about Celtic is only 2 goals in the last 3 games. Oh no, I've told a lie. 4 goals in the last 3 games, but they drew 1-0 before the Rangers game. Sorry about that. To continue, Hanko is their starting left back, has 1 assist in the last 4. I think Gertrude has 1 goal in his last 4, so you probably maybe be looking at those. I'm not too sure. They are both 4.5 million. I personally think there's better 4.5 million options out there. I think if you are going to risk it for this, you just go with Beelen. If he doesn't play, tough. He's 4 million. Moving into the midfield, you have Vifa, who is only 5 million in the game, has a goal in his last 4 appearances. You have Timber, who's played the last 3, also 5 million, has a goal. But Stengs seems to be the one standout midfielder at 6 million. He's got a goal and 3 assists in his last 2 games. He has played 3 of those last 4, but he looks to be pretty nailed on in there now. New signing, obviously integrated quite easily. Are you keen at all on Stengs or any other Feyenoord midfielder?
Stengs, in terms of his recent form, I think kind of stands out. But I think around that price point, they are like you're looking at defensive midfielders, and can Stengs, he probably help with a few ball recoveries, especially against a team like Celtic. But Feyenoord are a team that I can see progressing from this group, especially with the recent form of Lazio. And so that, even though they're not the strongest team, especially for this first match, if you just want a punt on first day, which we know that we can fall into,
yes.
I think it might be worth a punt on that first match. They're free scoring.
I think he's a good pick, personally. He's not currently in any of my drafts. He's someone that I am considering. And it's because, for me, I personally, I'm probably going to limitless wildcard in two, and I'm quite flexible with my wildcard after that. Because of that, I won't have the most difficult fixture of this entire group, Atletico Madrid away. I'm going to have Celtic at home, I'm going to have Lazio at home, and then Lazio away. And obviously, I can wildcard at any time. But that feels pretty good for 6 million for a player that can actually score goals.
Yeah.
So he is, as far as 6 million goes, I'd rather have him over a lot of the 6.5 million bracket players that I've been seeing in the game. I think a lot of people are riding like the Rodri train because he's playing so well. But, you know, could you cover elsewhere with Man City players and then maybe go for a player like this? We've obviously got some other players like Xavi Simmons, 6.5, I think he is. Could this be the player that you pick to help facilitate, you know, Mbappe and Haaland up front, which is very difficult at the minute with them being so expensive? In terms of other players, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but Paiso?
Yeah, it's a weird...
Paiko. I've got a feeling it's Paiko, personally. But it's a goal and an assist over played three of the last four games. But Ivanusic has came in as well. That's something to be aware of. He's a new signing. Minter on loan from the mighty Newcastle United. He's came in, but the starter up top is Jimenez, 7.5 million striker. He's got a lot of goals. He's got 4 open play goals in his last 3 games. He also has a penalty goal, and he won that penalty. So he is a talismanic figure for them. 7.5 million. Again, I think he's another great pick for this match day one. If you're looking a wild card, a limitless wild card, or anything like that, and you want to beef up elsewhere, I think Jimenez, for the fixture and for his form and for the team feeding him, they do play a 4-3-3 essentially. So he's the main man up front. I like it. I like that. If you were to pick any players from this team, who would you consider, and are you actually considering any of them?
I'm only considering Stengs at the moment, but I think that obviously we've already just discussed him. But in terms of I really, really can see him as scoring like in this match. The downside is that I haven't fully planned out my chip strategy yet. So I would probably, if I am wild card and early, maybe I've seen a few people match day 2 wild card. I'd be great for that. But I think in terms of like split that a lot of people are wanting to make, their funds are spread quite thin when it comes to midfield. So that's why I think the appeal of Stengs kind of goes up a little bit. For defense, I don't know about too much, because I can see, even
Celtic
though
getting a goal.
I can see Celtic getting a goal, and I can also see Lazio sneaking in an odd goal. I just see Feyenoord winning like a 2-1, 3-1 type of game.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. For Celtic, are we going to recommend anyone other than Furuhashi?
For the same price point as well as
Jimenez. Like, it's a no-brainer. Go Jimenez. Like, that's the issue. It's not being mean to Celtic or anything like that. It's just, would you rather have Furuhashi away to Feyenoord for the same price as Jimenez at home to Celtic? Like, I think it's a...
I think this is the danger as well as like comparing domestic form. I would say, I think we can really see with the amount of Dutch teams that are in the Champions League now that league is really developing.
Yeah.
And so the standard of opposition is really, really developing as well. And so you could say, oh no, Celtic have the better defensive stats. They've kept this many clean sheets. Yeah, but the standard of opposition is a lot worse. And we've seen Ajax, we've seen PSV Eindhoven, we've seen, well, now Feyenoord, all these Dutch teams doing really well in Europe lately.
Yeah.
And so I don't think we can really look at domestic form for Celtic and then go, oh, look at Joe Hart at 4.5. Like, that's just my opinion anyways.
No, I agree. When you can have an Inter goalkeeper for 4.5 or Joe Hart.
Yeah.
I appreciate this play a different night, but still. What's your score for this game? Just for the opening game, what do you think the score is going to be for Celtic versus Feyenoord?
Kind of, I think 3-1.
I hate this. I'm already sick of this. It's the first one we've done, and I'm already sick of you. I agree, 3-1.
With a Stengs goal.
With a Jankabash. Minter hat-trick. Minter hat-trick. We'll move on into the, I think, a very plum fixture for the neutral. Not because I think it's going to be exciting, not because I think there's going to be loads of goals, but I can see a vast wealth of red cards. It's Atletico Madrid versus Lazio. Two very calm, mild-mannered teams that have respectful tactics. Very, very, very calm, level-headed fans. It should be a nice, quiet game, this one, Aaron. You are Mr. Serie A. You like watching Serie A. Unfortunately, your general footballing opinions are terrible, so I wouldn't take much stock in it. But what have you been making of Lazio so far this season?
So the form hasn't started great, has it? Other than they did the exact same last year as well, where they beat Napoli. They just seem to be their bogey team. I don't know if that's because Sarri against his old team, kind of a bit of chip on his shoulder.
Yeah. It's all Sarri's fault. We're doing this for you, boss.
Yeah. So obviously they've had a lot of transfer business. Milinkovic-Savic gone, that's massive in terms of their midfield. But in terms of the replacements, I didn't actually think they were too bad. They had a very solid season last year. The fact that Kamada, obviously we talked him up with Frankfurt last year, really, really good player. The fact that he is there now behind Immobile, like, I think that's a really good shout as a second striker. Sometimes Milinkovic-Savic didn't do that as much. 7 million midfield, potentially a bit pricier. Luis Alberto, he used to be an assist machine. He's at 6 million, so that is an option for, obviously, against Celtic. But then in terms of some of the other players, though, I don't know how much we're going to go for. This is kind of a group where there's a lot of really low-owned players. I think the most owned players are kind of the Atletico defense, but even then it's like 2-3% currently at the time recording per player. So in terms of Lazio, Kamada seems to be the most owned player, but again, 2%. So it's still kind of a bit of a differential.
I think that's by name, you know. I think Kamada is a bit of a fresh name in terms of, oh, I know who he is. I'm going to pick him. I for me, Alberto would be the clear choice between the two. 6 million, 2 goals in 3 games. And has actually played well. Like, Kamada played well against Napoli. He was rubbish in their first 2 games. Whereas Alberto actually played well in both of those games.
He's quite a solid player. Like, he always seems to be double-digit assists. Yeah. And I think it's just getting to that age now, though, where you are questioning how long they can keep that going for, and at any moment that can kind of turn around. But Serie A seems to be a good league in terms of people playing well into their 30s, as Immobile is a good example.
The obviously, just we'll sort of try and move through, like, maybe pick a player from each position. I mean, there's no one but Immobile up front, really.
Again, it's quite interesting that all the starting forwards so far are the same price.
Yes. And out of the three, I'd probably pick Immobile last at the minute.
That first game, especially.
Oh, goodness me, yes. And that's the issue with Lazio. You can't really pick any of them for the first game against Atletico Madrid, in my opinion. I picked out Romagnoli just because he's 4.5 million. I wouldn't want to pump any money in at that defense at the best of times anyway. I'm a little confused about who the left back would be. Marisic has played both sides already this season. So there are question marks there. At the minute, I'm just not a fan of going for Lazio. This is one of those where I think not only do you want to get that first fixture out of the way, I think it's, other than Atletico Madrid away, I think Atletico Madrid at home is probably the best one to just get out of the way. But we can get a couple of more games worth of data to actually look at them, see how they're doing, see if this Napoli game is a bit of a fluke. Because for people that are limitlessing, it's a bit of a weird one this season. For me, normally, I like the limitless chip to attack weak fixtures where you just want all of the best players and you can't afford them. This year, it just seems that the fixtures have fallen in a way that I can have a nice team, but that match day two is horrendous for all of them. So I kind of just want to use it as a free hit to get rid of all the tough fixtures, and then I can just... I don't know if I'd even spend 100 million. Which maybe isn't the best use of the chip normally, but I think you've sort of got to be flexible with this game of your chips. In Lazio against Celtic could be one of those games. I'm not sure yet. It's something that I want to see more Celtic under Brendan Rodgers. I know that Celtic fans haven't been overly happy with him at the minute. And it's certainly something that I want to see how Lazio develop before I start going for any of, before I even consider any of their players.
Yeah, I don't think you can read too much into the Napoli game, to be honest. But I think a good indicator would be how they perform against Juventus this weekend.
Yeah.
And especially away, they kind of turn up there as well. Again, it's another one of Sarri's old teams. We could probably look at Napoli and Juventus. Granted, Juventus aren't in any European competitions, but they're still a European caliber team.
Yeah, they did actually finish there, though, didn't they?
Without the point deduction, they would have finished above. Yeah.
Yeah.
But in terms of Lazio as well, they've started off a bit ropey. And for teams in the past, when they've done that, we've kind of been like, right, let's give them a bit more time before we kind of... They've got a lot of new players. Obviously, the very sophisticated football system known as Sarri Ball. Sarcasm. I think just see how the players gel a little bit more. And then maybe when it comes down to the Celtic games, we can... But mind you, Celtic did beat them twice the last time they were in a group together in European football.
Yeah, were Celtic not better at the time?
I would say Lazio were better at the time as well.
Were they?
I mean, they had a younger version of all these players. Yeah,
every single player on the team. Yeah, but they've got Kamada now. So Atletico Madrid, group favourites, as they should be, as a pop one team, they'll be clapping their hands that they don't have to play Porto for the first time in 1,000 years. Q round of 16 tie. So Atletico Madrid, again, been very busy in the transfer market. I'm not going to go through everyone, but some noticeable ins are 76-year-old Aspilicueta and forgotten man Soyuncu. Weird. Weird signings, in my opinion, because I don't think Soyuncu is particularly good. And Aspilicueta is aging, although historically has been an absolutely unbelievable footballer. Transfers out. Cunha is gone. He's off to Man City. No, sorry, he's off to Wolves. Carrasco is gone. He went to Saudi, I think, on like the...
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Like, borderline the last day. Brennan Lodi's off to Marseille, I think. Kondogbia's gone. Joao Felix is at Barcelona now, I believe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, lots of outs for Atletico Madrid. They also have an injury to Jimenez, the centre-back. Koke, the central midfielder, and Vitolo as well. So they've got a few injuries. However, they've started off the season well. Their most recent game was postponed against Sevilla. I'm not sure why. Sevilla weather warnings, I think, perhaps. We've got a 3-1 win, a 0-0 draw, and a 7-0 battering. I think of Rayo Vallecano, I think, is who it was against. Now, please don't fall into the Arno Black trap. For any new players, we say this every year. I think he's the most expensive keeper in the game again.
6 million, yeah. Most owned player in this group, 5%.
Wow. I personally don't get it. He probably will keep clean sheets, but just go for one of the defenders. So Ronaldo, he is back ish. He was out for a long time, I think, with an ACL. He did something really bad. He's been out for a long time. He is now, I'm going to put in like little quotations, fit. I don't think he's actually match fit yet, so I don't think he's going to be available for the Lazio game. But I think beyond that, he's either going to be their left-sided centre-back. So they play three at the back, basically. Wing-backs, three centre midfielders, two up front, 3-5-2, for anyone that doesn't know how Atletico Madrid play. he is either going to be the wing back because Carrasco isn't there anymore. I think Sal Niguez will play there until he's back. Or he's going to be the left-sided centre-back, but I think Hermoso's been playing okay there. Mm-hmm. They've got Hermoso, they've got Savic. Axel Witsel, who's a midfielder on the game, playing centre-back, which I think he did a few times for Dortmund.
He did, yeah.
It seems like a waste regardless. So they're a little bit choppy and changey at the back. I think if Reinildo comes into the game and he's actually playing as left wing back at 5 million, he is your go-to. He was very good for Wolfsburg at left back, left wing back. He got attacking returns. And it was more so when he started playing for Atleti, he got put that left-sided centre-back role more than the left-back. So I think he's a brilliant shout at 5 million if he does play. Before then, though, you're probably looking at Savic, played all three games, 5 million, Lazio away first game. I don't know whether it's the greatest fixture in the world. You can, whatever Aaron's scoreline prediction is probably going to determine whether you think you should go for an Atletico Madrid defender. He was in my first draft. But if I was to go for one, I'd probably go for him. And it's just because Azpilicueta has played centre-back. He's played right-wing-back. But they've signed Molina at right-wing-back. And he's the right-wing, right-back for Argentina, who I think scored the winning penalty at the World Cup.
Yeah.
Final. Very good player. Very, very good. Got a goal in his last game. He's 6 million on the game. So that's pricey. I don't know how keen I would be to go there, but he's a high-risk, high-reward player. I just feel like he could maybe have been 5.5 to be a bit more tempting. The Spanish John O'Shea, Llorente, plays everywhere. Don't know if you've ever seen the film Twins before, Aaron, but
I haven't.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito, twins. And it's like they're quite similar in a lot of ways, but one looks like one and one looks like the other, and one is capable of one thing and one is capable of the other. That's how I feel about Llorente and John O'Shea. Like, they both play every position. He could be playing striker one week, right wing back the next, left sided centre mid the next. Who knows? I'm pretty confident it's a Tom Bowler at this stage. So you could get Llorente for 6 million and it's a bit of a gamble, a bit of a guess. A bit of, ooh, what's going to happen here? He's played right wing back. He's played centre mid this season. I can't see him playing up front because they've got Morata, they've got Correa, they've got Griezmann, they've got Memphis, Depay. Although I think Depay's injured as well at the minute. So maybe he's not going to bomb on too much, but he did score from right wing back on the opening game of the season. Out of those defenders, Llorente is a midfielder, I'd like to point out. But out of the defenders, and Llorente who plays in defense / midfield, anyone that you want to go for?
I did have Azpilicueta in, but that was just as a placeholder for any 5 million Atletico Madrid defender. I was going to kind of just judge based on the weekend's game against Valencia, just to kind of see who this. I think there's kind of like a habit there where Simeone will play the same defense back-to-back games. He wants them to kind of gel. And so, are they at risk of a red card at any point? Absolutely. But in terms of the way, especially against Lazio, a team that's going to try and keep the ball on the ground as much as they can, obviously that highlights potentially a weakness in the air. And so I think that the centre-backs could really exploit that. And I just think that this is going to be a low-scoring game to where there's not going to be like a 2-goal minus point deduction. It's just whether how dirty the game gets and whether you're going to be able to sub them out.
Lazio away, mate.
I know.
Lazio away.
So, but in terms of the full group, though, in terms of regardless of your kind of chip strategy, I do think that Atletico Madrid defenders, for the most part, are going to probably, they're going to soak up a lot of pressure because they're going to these really atmospheric kind of stadiums. You've got Lazio away, Celtic, which,
yes,
like legendary on European nights. And so Atletico Madrid in their moments just look to shut up shop and 0-0. Like, they'll take that and then they'll beat you, try to beat you at their home ground. So that is the potential for a lot of ball recoveries and for them to just sit back. So that's what I think is a good shout for the full group stage.
I've seen a lot of people have DePaul in there. I don't like his price at all. Has two assists in his first three games, which is okay, but for his price, it's not okay. I don't think he ever looks like he's ever going to score a goal. He's a very, very handsome man. Very handsome man.
Makes it into this, a handsome starting 11.
Yeah, he gets into a handsome starting 11 for sure. But I don't think he's going to get into my fantasy team. What can you understand why people have put so many people have put him in their teams? Other than he's handsome and he's a World Cup winner?
I think that's literally the point, is that Argentinian World Cup winner. I think when you are looking at, for a lot of people, you'll probably look at the names and go, I recognize that name.
Yeah.
He also has appeal for, obviously he used to play in Italy. I think it was for Udinese. And so people recognize him from there. So I think they're the type of players where that you're like, oh, I recognize him, I know his name, I'll put him in my team. So the same reason why I think people are going for Azpilicueta, they're like, oh, I remember him from Chelsea, especially if you're someone who doesn't know as much about all these teams, they'll probably go for him. Or Oblak, probably just going off his FIFA rating or something like that.
I still think I'd go for Hermoso at the back over Oblak, because I'm sure he's 5.5. I've written everyone's prices down, just because I wasn't going to recommend everyone. In terms of the forwards, I kind of just want to go through who scored what and done what. Morata in Memphis scored in the first games. I'm just going through which striker scored. I'm not going through which, you know, Juventus scored in that game. No one cares. Next game was 0-0. So no one scored. In the 7-0 win, Griezmann and Memphis scored. They started together. However, Memphis got injured. Memphis Depay. Morata came off the bench and bagged two. Correa came off the bench, got a goal and an assist. And actually, just for the crack, Llorente came off the bench and scored again.
So maybe you were wrong about him before.
Yeah, forget everything I've just said about Marcus Llorente. The Arnold Schwarzenegger of this team. I don't really know where to go with it. Griezmann's too expensive, I think. Morata is probably going to play because Memphis isn't. I think if Memphis Depay was to play, I think it's 7.5 million. He's a great pick in this team. He really suits Simeone's style because he's just so dynamic in that team. But Morata's a good player. He doesn't really suit the Premier League in any way, shape, or form. But in other leagues, I say other leagues, for Atletico Madrid, Juventus and Real Madrid, where I think he's played at all clubs 20 times between them, he always seems to do well for a bit, and then he sort of dips, and consistency seems to be his issue. But he's had a good start the season. 7.5 million. He joins the bargain bandwagon. Any of these forwards tickling your fancy?
Depay did, but I think it really just depends on the amount of premiums that you do want from the other, especially with the fact that the wingers are all forwards. It's quite hard to pick a 7.5 because you want to fit in all these dynamic wingers and the star players. I think if the midfielders, if wingers were still classed as midfielders, I think it does open the door more for like a Griezmann or some of these 7.5 million strikers. But I think with the fact that we're trying to fit in as many of them as we can in only three spots, it is quite hard. So it is going to be a massive punt.
Yeah. I think anyone that's wanting fun earlier is probably better for me, I think. Certainly in the group stages. Who knows? Maybe when some of these teams qualify. Because it's just so hard. Everyone's going to have FOMO when you've got Kane, Vinicius Jr., who's injured, Haaland, Lewandowski, and Mbappe. Three of the five of those. And I just think it's putting people off some of these bargains. But again, it's interesting, as you said, Morata, Depay, both 7.5 million, just like Jimenez, just like Furuhashi, just like, what's his face, Immobile.
So I just did a quick search. Morata, the last time he played against Lazio, he scored twice, and the time before that, he scored once. So just a
spanner in the works.
Just throw that in there.
For me, I think if you want to play two strikers that are premium to then knock one down to a budget, I think this is a good group for it. For me, my preference would either be at like 100% Morata or Jimenez. I wouldn't look at Furuhashi or Immobile. I'd go for one of those two. Tuesday night fixtures are where you want to be taking punts, ultimately. So that's probably that. Who's going to win that game? What's the score going to be, Aaron?
I have Atletico Madrid winning 2-1.
2-0.
2-1.
2-1. I have them winning 1-0.
I don't think the clean sheets will come. I think tons of ball recoveries, but I don't think the clean sheet will come in the first match. I think that'll come later.
Okay. Well, there you have it. That's it, Aaron. It's been a while, but that is our first group review done. We've started with Group E. Thank you so much for listening, to watching. Again, for all of these group previews, we are going to be in this beautiful studio. So hopefully you can join us again for the next one. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at UCL Fantasy Pod. You can also follow Gallagher Shots on Twitter as well. Make sure you do. Don't forget to give this video a like and subscribe to every single one of our channels. There's millions of them now. You'll see our faces everywhere. And we'll see you for the next one. Bye now.